Owners of a direct care practice are more likely to experience higher job satisfaction than the insurance-based practice, and it's no wonder why. Direct care is independent of insurance. Patients pay the doctor directly for their expertise. The doctor gets full autonomy in how they care for patients and how they get paid. We've chosen this path for the love of medicine. This is the direct care way. By listening to this podcast, you may even start to believe that you too can have a successful direct care practice. Come listen with an open mind as I share my personal journey on how I pivoted from an insurance-based practice to direct care right in the middle of the pandemic and the valuable lessons along the way. This podcast may be the very thing you need to revitalize your medical practice. I'm your host, owner of a direct care podiatry practice, Dr. T. Nguyen. Four things I got from teaching the proceduralist section at the DPC Nuts and Bolts conference that was held in Orlando, Florida this past weekend. I'm part of the DSC Alliance, and this is the cousin of DPC Alliance, in which it holds a space for specialists to congregate, to get together, to get resources, and to connect with the community who's all collectively moving in the same direction. We are choosing to opt out of insurance so that we can have control in our practice, so that we can take care of our patients the way we feel is appropriate without having to be incentivized by RVUs and whatever the insurance reimbursement rates are. We don't haggle with insurances. We're not a flea market. We are not discounted medicine. We are high quality specialty care. And the fact that we were able to be present at a DPC conference is making waves as to what's to come in the next several decades. So I'm really excited to be part of that movement. So the four things I want to share with you that I learned from teaching procedures to primary care doctors is this. One, DSC is still relatively new, but this was actually the first time we collectively, Drs. Diana Granita and Dr. Laura Kinney and myself, hemonc, rheumatology, and podiatry got together representing specialists who are moving in the space of direct care, and we are now present. So us being together for the first time in this legal formation, this alliance, is a huge celebration for us. It was people recognizing the value of specialists in direct care. So we all took part in the procedural section teaching our unique specialties. So I participated in sharing my protocols for heel pain, ingrown toenails, fungal nail disease, ankle sprains, and whatever questions the doctors really had, so that they can start incorporating these procedures into their practice, which helps them increase their value to their patients. And some people may argue that I'm giving away my secrets, right, to people who aren't specialists. But my counter-argue to that is there's a lot of things that I do that can be easily managed by primary care doctors. And if we are going to move collectively together, we have to recognize where we can help and where we can't. For me, if I can sort out the things that primary care doctors can do, then I increase my subspecialty. I get to capture more of the higher needs or the problems that require more specializations, like surgery. So I'm totally okay with sharing what I know, increasing the values for primary care doctors, because it's a mutual relationship. It's a referral basis. We are here to help the patients collectively. And if we get all the docs kind of on the same page, knowing what our strengths are and recognizing what our limitations are, I think we're all in a better place. So that was the joy for me, was to share what worked for me that primary care doctors can easily implement right away. The second thing I learned from being at this conference is that there are people who want to know more about direct care specialists, which means that if we can collectively work together, we can leverage our value in numbers and get discounts and be offered more opportunities, whether it be patient referrals or professional speaking engagements. Maybe it's growing your social media brand. But what's most important that I found was really to get connected with other people who can support your mission. So other people who were there at the conference, we all know the value of direct care, and including the vendors. So the vendors were there checking us out and
they have a lot of things to offer, and we have a lot of things to offer them. So people out there outside of medicine want to know about direct care specialists. They already have an idea about what primary care offers. So we're just kind of moving together on this river raft, and there are going to be other people who cross healthcare who's going to want to know who we are. So I thought that was really cool that we're expanding our connections, which means we get to leverage things that help us and helps them and helps everybody. So I'm always down with helping. The third thing that I learned is that critics will always persist. So you have to have grit and belief in what you do. So if you're going to choose direct care, do so with intent. Do it because you have a deeper reason to do it. It can't just be because reimbursements are low. Although that is part of the problem, there's something deeper to that. Like, why are you choosing to do something that is so radically different from 99% of what other doctors are doing? Because guess what? 99% of those doctors are going to do whatever they can to shake you down, to make you do something that they're doing, that they're comfortable with. And a lot of doctors are just not going to have anything to do with direct care. People are going to criticize that it's unethical. They're going to say that we're just in it for the money. That's the problem with private practice, is that we are self-selecting for wealthy people. And I cannot even begin to tell you how wrong those judgments are. And honestly, none of those has anything to do with me. It has everything to do with their insecurity or just their lack of knowledge of what is actually the problem in healthcare. So for me, I am so bothered by the ethics of what's happening in medicine that I can't be deterred from direct care at this point anymore. I am so bothered that somebody else who doesn't have a medical degree gets to dictate what I can and cannot provide to my patients. I am so bothered that somebody else can control what I get paid. I am so bothered that the system allows minute or small minute interactions with patients, and they've normalized rushing patients as if it was an assembly line. I am so bothered by all of that. So I cannot be deterred from direct care at this point. I am happy to be with patients who value my expertise. I offer treatments based on sound medical decisions rather than being incentivized by RVUs. And I am more than okay with where I'm at. However, there will be many who are not okay. They're going to feel so challenged with what they believed in for so long, and they are going to be more than happy to drag us down with them. So they're going to pull us into their level of insecurity. But be very strong in the reason why you're doing what you're doing. Don't let them do that to you. My power card is being happy and content and making decisions that work for me. So if what I do doesn't work for somebody else, then don't do what I do. It's kind of like when you're at a restaurant and you know you want to order a burger, but the vegetarian behind you has like all kinds of things to say. This has nothing to do with whether you're carnivore or vegetarian, but the matter is, you choose what you want to eat. You choose what you want to put in your brain. You choose what you want to do with your life. And if other people have problems with it, that's on them. That has nothing to do with you, right? So make decisions that work for you. And I think others should follow suit. They need to make decisions that work for them. The last thing I learned from this event was that I actually know more than I give myself credit for, which means I know that you probably will too. So the things that I do every day kind of seems mundane, boring. I can whip through protocols pretty quick because I've been doing it for over 10 years. And I kind of took that for granted. So as I was teaching my protocols to others, everything from how to diagnose it, what to do if your treatment plans don't go right, how to offer patients home self-care, there were a lot of things that I kind of packaged into my conversations with patients that I'm now having to distill to other doctors. I realized how quickly I spoke, which meant that I knew the stuff pretty fast, but I wasn't realizing that they may have never actually done this before, that a lot of what I was saying was new to them. And that is to say, as a specialist, you may not believe that you have something unique to offer until you meet somebody who has no idea what it is that you do, whether it be patients or other colleagues. And so giving yourself credit for all that you know, the reason why things are easy for you is because you are the expert. You've been doing the same thing. You've been living in your specialty for so long that that level of expertise, that level of experience that you have made it easy for you. So thinking that you only deserve to get paid when things are hard or challenging is kind of the wrong way of thinking. If things are easy for you, but it's not easy for somebody else, guess what? You're the expert. That's why it is easy for you. So this notion of billing a 99203, 99204, those are new patient consultation based on, it used to be based on time, and then it became level of complexity, and then it was changing back and forth. And you know, I can't keep up with that. But the idea that I could not bill a complexity level because other people couldn't figure it out and that's why they referred to me, I just felt like that was really subjective. That was kind of dumb, right? I know what I know because I do it all the time. And that's why people will refer to me. And therefore, my level of specialty is very high. So if you have imposter syndrome, this is your gentle reminder that things are easy for you because you are the specialist. You are the expertise. And just be okay with that. All right? So now we've gotten that out of the way. Nonetheless, a lot of the doctors were motivated to learn, and I love being in that energy. And if I can help them, they can help me. Patients get better. We all get better. And I think it's just really awesome. It was really great to connect and feel the collegiality amongst other doctors, especially for podiatrists, because not a lot of people know that podiatrists are physicians. We are just uniquely skilled in the foot and ankle. So that's why I have this podcast. It invites MDs, DOs, and DPMs. We are all physicians. We are all able to provide an HMP prior to surgery. We can admit patients, we can take care of them, we collaborate with other doctors when things are out of our scope and so on. So those were the things I learned. Something that came up when I was talking to other specialists who are also in the movement was that I honestly never know how people are going to interact with me. And this is how my brain thinks. Because I am a woman, because I am Asian, I am a minority in certain areas. I am a minority in medicine, being a female Asian doctor in the United States, in Michigan, in Iowa, in Texas, all the different places that I've lived. I kind of deal with some level of passive aggressiveness, racism, harassment, and so on. This is like my day-to-day life. And it's the luxury that we have in a patriarchal system. But I don't ever really know how people are going to interact with me or how they're going to perceive or receive my information. Like, am I going to run into somebody who hates podiatrists? There are doctors who legitimately hates podiatrists as a whole. And I think that's kind of wild. How can you hate something as a whole when you just had one bad interaction one time or a few times, right? So there are people like that. And there are people who hate women. Like, that's kind of wild. We don't need to get into the details of that. But yeah, some people just really hate the power of women that we have, that we hold leadership positions, that we are outspoken. There are people who hate Asians, and I don't have to tell you about what the pandemic has done to the Asian community. There's a lot of hate rising for a variety of reasons. There are people who hate Californians. I don't know why. I can't explain that one. Maybe because of our liberal ways and how open we are to different ways of life. We like diversity. Can't hate. I don't know what else to say about that. People hate the way that I speak. They hate that I'm young. They hate that I'm feisty. They hate that I am the way I am. Right? There's people who hate doctors. There's people who hate what I'm doing for doctors, that I'm even talking about direct care. How dare I, right? And then I have concerns of, now that I'm out in social media, I'm out in the public, are people going to try to take advantage of me? Because let me tell you, there have been vendors who spot me out because I'm in the position that I am. So I always worry, are they really here to help me, or are they going to try to exploit me, or are they trying to get my connection so that they can build their email list to build their own practice? Like, I don't know. These are the thoughts that I have. They're intrusive, yes, but they're usually backed up by some historical event. So I had given a talk, and one of the last questions an audience member said, actually was a statement, was saying, so you expect me to drop my insurance when I have all these people lined up for my surgery? He runs a high volume surgical practice. And I said, I'm not making you do anything. You can decide what you want to do. I don't know what you want in your life. So you have to just, like a buffet, pick and choose what works for you, try it out, and then decide where you want to go from there. So this came up from a conversation with another doctor who also provided a talk for her specialty, and she encountered the same type of resistance. People asking questions, or really stating statements that had no question to it, but nonetheless, we're challenging what she was saying. And for me, you know, I'm kind of a young speaker, I don't always know what to expect, but I do have something lingering in the back of my mind to be aware that although I come with good intentions, there are people who might try to antagonize it, and I just have to be prepared, a little bit more prepared each time. And luckily for them, I am sassy, and I built the sassiness through all of the hardships that I've developed with time, and I'm just okay with where I'm at. And I can recognize that they're not okay with where they're at, which is why I'm here, to offer another solution. And if they don't want to take it, then fine, move on to the next thing. Don't hang around and try to pull me down to that level. It's just not okay. So at the end of the day, I really can't control how others treat me or what they think. My job is really just to manage my own mind and to focus on my purpose. And I hope that is the same for you. So as you venture into direct care and you start to get really excited, but you're also faced with resistance, just recognize that's pretty normal. You have to be really strong as to why you're doing what you're doing. It has to be anchored with more than it's just about the lower reimbursement. It has to be so much deeper than that for you to move forward, because money can only do so much for us. You have to really feel a discrepancy in the ethical misalignment that insurance offers. And if you don't feel that discrepancy, then it doesn't really make sense to do something that is so wildly different from what the majority of people are doing. So you might be wondering, what does all of this have to do with you? Well, we're all collectively in a new space and it's exciting, but we're also still just the 1% of doctors who are going to unintentionally piss others off because we challenge their beliefs. And for me, I'm okay with that. When I was challenged with my beliefs, I was like, cool, I'm all in. I'm curious. I want to know more. I want to know how this can apply to me. And I learned some stuff and I saw things that were working, some things that weren't, and I just kind of molded it to what I wanted to create for myself. I didn't have to be overly critical of everything else that was out there. I just picked and choose what's going to work for me, what I was willing to play with, and that's how I built my practice. So don't let anyone else take away your peace or drag you down to their level of misery. Oftentimes, people who don't have a business mindset, you know, they're not really the best mentors. It's basically all there is to it. So, you know, the stuff that I had to cross just to get to where I'm at made me who I am. So yes, I'm a little bit sassy. I've got some quick comebacks. It's made me be a really good advocate for physicians who maybe feels like they don't have a voice or they are feeling very scared about doing something that nobody else is doing. So let me be your guide. The DSC Alliance is there to also be your guide. If you have concerns, you have insecurities, you have imposter syndrome, join us on the Facebook side. We have lots of conversations about direct specialty care practice. We're excited that you're here. We want to support you. And most importantly, we're not here to exploit you. Let me just say that again. There's going to be a lot of organizations who recognize direct care as a movement. They're going to want your money. They're going to want to exploit you. They're going to say things like, doctors don't really know business anyway. So I want you to be mindful about that. Direct Specialty Care Alliance, we're just here to bring doctors together, to have conversations about how we can improve our practice, how we can move forward together, how we can leverage ourselves in numbers. So maybe we can get some cool discounts, maybe in malpractice, maybe it's in marketing, maybe it's in connecting with other like-minded businesses. Maybe it's just to put us on the map because we don't really know where to start. We don't really know where to go without feeling like somebody out there is just trying to take advantage of us. The last thing that we want to do is to take advantage of people. The last thing I would ever want to see is my colleagues, my friends, my doctor friends be taken advantage of because they didn't know better. Because I've encountered a lot of companies out there who are more than happy to take your money without providing you the results that you're looking for. And as somebody who spent a whole lot of money just trying to figure that stuff out, we're trying to just shortcut that for you. So this is my open invitation to join us on the Alliance. It's a really nominal fee monthly that helps us maintain the website. None of us are getting paid. We are all volunteering our time to put this resource together for you. And I really hope that you become part of the solution for the problems we're having in healthcare. Change is going to start with us. And I'm so happy that you're here listening to the podcast, having conversations outside about direct care, contemplating, thinking, getting your resources together. Let us help you also to point you in the right direction so that you're not going to be exploited because you're a physician. There's a lot of vultures out there, so just keep an eye out. That's all I've got for today. Thanks so much for joining me. I'll catch you next week.
thank you so much for being here with me. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please like, share, and subscribe so more people like you can have access to another way of practicing medicine, the direct care way. Let's connect, find my info in the show notes, and send me your questions. It might be the topic for future episodes. And lastly, if you remember nothing else, remember this: be the energy you want to attract. See you next time.